Bow your prayers this morning. One more time, we look into the Word of God. Depending on Him, I have that same desire. Closer, my child, to me. You know, it's one of those things that, regardless how close we think we are, that we can always get a little closer. That might not make sense in a natural sense, but it does spiritually. You know, you think you closer you think you can get, but there's somehow, some way we can get closer. And that's my desire as well, to draw closer to the Lord. I'm always dependent on Him. And I know that He is faithful. Before I write the thought on the board, again, the desire of your prayers, desire that the word that the Lord has given today, that it would be brought forth in the way that He would have it. If I was to ask you a question this morning, in terms of relationships, what are three powerful words? You can think, say it out. What's that? Trust. But just think about words that you would group together. Somebody said, I love you. I was thinking about one other one. I forgive you. That's another message. But we're going to talk that those, you think about those words, I love you. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Whether the relationship, you even just between, just what siblings, you think about the relationship between a man and a woman. I'm, you know, maybe a courting couple. You know, and they just getting started and they starting to really enjoy one another's company. And they get to that point where they feel like they can utter those words. I love you. And you think about maybe they get engaged and then become husband and wife. And just how that you say those words, I love you. But you know what? There's something that's, those words are very powerful and they have a lot of meaning. But you know what makes them even more meaningful and more powerful is when that there's something behind it. They're supported with repeated action. When you can say that, but there's something behind it, there's action behind it, and it's not just a single action, it's multiple things that occur over a period of time. I believe I can say that after close to 25 years of marriage, that I've had opportunity to say those words, but also put my words into action and endeavor to show my wife that I love her. And by the help of the Lord, I'm going to continue to practice that and help He give us, pray He give us some more years, some many more years, so that I can continue to show and express in action my love that I have for my wife. We're going to, by the help of the Lord this morning, talk about God's love. And I recognize that this subject is vast. It is enormous, if I could say it that way, and it's almost really above our comprehension and understanding. But you know what? All we need to do is grasp a hold of a little bit of it. We don't have to fully comprehend and try to grasp and understand the vastness of God's love. But what we can do is just get an aspect of it, believe it, and hold on to it. And if we do that, then we can make it. So by the help of the Lord this morning, I just want to touch on a few of the aspects of His love. We're going to talk about four of them this morning. And again, I recognize that this is so great. There's so many that this is just, again, just a little portion of it. We're going to talk about His love in terms of His creation of the world. We're going to talk about His love as it relates to God sending His Son, Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus's death on the cross. And then we're going to talk about God's chastening. And in that, you know, and we're recognizing in all in these few examples, these few things that we're going to bring out by the help of the Lord this morning, it is exhibiting, it's showing how much he loves us by actions that he did. He did these things for us. He expressed his love to mankind. His expression of love to mankind started way back at the beginning of the world. Thinking, I mean, just ponder that thought this morning, that even before we were even created, his love was being expressed to us. We weren't even born yet, but he was expressing his love to us as his creation. You know, and as we read, we're going to go into Genesis and read a little bit, but what detail that God put into the creation of this world. You know, we can read about it here in the Bible, but we can also observe it just even in our lives now today. We can look around and recognize when we see the beauty of nature and just everything around us, that is an expression of God's love. Genesis, the first chapter and the first verse. We're going to read a few of these. We're not going to read it all for the sake of time, but I would encourage you from time to time, go back to Genesis and read about the creation of the world. But we're just going to read a few verses here. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Then we'll read verse 6, verses 1 and 2, verse 6, verse 11, and then 14 through 16. And as we read through these verses this morning, I want you to think about and recognize God's love being expressed to us, his creation, as he was creating the world. All right? So Genesis 1 and 1.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
And the earth was without form.
And the earth was without form.
And void.
And void.
Darkness was upon the face of the
and
earth.
Darkness was upon the face of the deep.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the
and
face
and the
of
Spirit
the
of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now skip for to verse 6, please.
And God said,
let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters.
And let it divide the waters.
And let it divide the waters from the waters. All right. Now go ahead to verse 11.
And God said,
let the earth bring forth grass,
the herb yielding seed,
and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind,
whose seed is in itself.
Upon the earth, and it was so. Now go ahead and read 14 through 16, please.
God said,
let there be lights in the firmament of heaven
to divide the day from the night.
And let there be for signs
and for seasons
and for days
and years.
And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven
to give light upon the earth.
And it was so.
And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day.
The greater light to rule the day.
And the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also.
So let us look at a few of these verses and understand God's love being expressed to his creation. Here, there was nothing. There was nothing, and God created something out of nothing. He created something out of nothing. All right, and then it starts here, and I was reading through this and studying that sixth verse really caught my attention. It says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Think about that for a little while. How are you going to divide the waters from the waters? Only God could do something like that. How do you separate water from the water? The Amplified verse said, it said, let there be firmament the expansion of the sky in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters below from the waters above. Huh? How is that working? There's waters above and there's water. You know, we can all see the oceans and the lakes and all those things. But then all of a sudden it rains. Where's that come from? What's keeping it up there? And you know what? God in his love and he's an expression of it. He was thinking about us. And I was pondering this thought. When you look at that dividing the waters, only God could do something like that. And when you read through the Bible, when is the first instance of rain that you read about? It was Noah, wasn't it? Okay. So there was according to how much time was that? So according to the lifespan of the patriarchs, right? When you read through the Bible, it talks about so-and-so lived this long and they begot so-and-so. So in order to establish the timeline of the creation to when the flood was, it's about 1,700 years. So now think about this. All right? For 1,700 years, it didn't rain. I'm talking about an expression of God's love. He was preparing for that from the beginning. From the beginning of time, he was preparing for future times. And so when he created his expression of love to us in his creation, I'm going to set this up now. Even though I'm not going to use it for 1,700 years to have these waters be separated one from the other. And then when he sees fit, he allow it to rain. What if it rained too? You know, sometimes we'll have flash floods and flooding and all those types of things. And maybe different things occur. But then what comes to a point in time? It'll stop, doesn't it? Because he promised that he would not destroy the earth with water again after what with Noah. What happened with Noah? So it goes to a period of time and then it stopped. He give us what we need, does he not? You know, sometimes you look and you say, oh, we need some rain. And God knows what we need. It's an expression of his love to us. And he'll let it rain. And then maybe you say, oh, we had too much rain. You know, maybe we've thought even, you know, this last month or so, we've had quite a bit of rain. But he's taking care of us, isn't he? Yes. He divided the waters from the waters. Thinking about us from the beginning, from the creation. And yet that continues on today. And then think about this. It said in that 11th verse, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seeds and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. What do we have? So recognize this. In his creation of the world, his love being expressed to us in the things that he created. How many different kind of fruits are there? I don't even know. There's plenty. Right? And there's enough of them to be able to say, if you can't find some kind of fruit that you like, there has to be at least one of all the ones that's available to us. Or some kind of nut or seed that you enjoy. I enjoy all the almonds and walnuts and pistachios and all. I enjoy all things. That's an expression of God's love. I'm enjoying that today. So he was thinking about me and he was thinking about you when he created all the things that we enjoy today. Think about, I don't know, your favorite little snack. It comes from something that God created thousands of, however many millions, however long ago it was, when there was nothing, he created it and he was thinking about you and I. And he expressed it by preparing, I don't know, maybe he had you in mind. Isn't it wonderful that we can all have that kind of thought that God was, well, that's my most favorite thing that I enjoy, and God must have been thinking about me when he created this. You know, and I could have that thought and you could have it too, because he loves us all. So he was thinking about nourishment for us. And not only that, he was thinking about my creation. They're going to need some kind of something. They're going to need something to help them to understand and comprehend time and seasons and just different things that go on. So I'm going to prepare something for them. So in thinking about that, he got the sun and the moon to help us understand when it's daytime and when it's nighttime. Isn't that, that's an expression of God's love. Oh, I want them to know it's time to go to sleep. It's time to wake up. Or how do you know that a day is past? Because of things that he set in motion for us. And the sun and the moon and the stars. Aren't some fascinated by the stars? And just think about how far away they are. And it's just, even just for our enjoyment. You know, you can look out sometimes at night when the sky is clear and you can see stars all over. And you can just be in amazement. Wow. That was the expression of God. Did he have to do that? He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to put these stars all over and then the curiosity of man, oh, how can I get to it? You can't even get to it. It's so far away. But just things that he provided for us, for our well-being, and even just things that would just fascinate our mind. The rule, the two light, the sun, the greater to rule by the day and the lesser to rule by night. So all these things, you know, we could continue on with each of these. You could talk about the animals and everything else that God created. But I pray that you're getting the essence of the point this morning, that God was expressing his love to his creation when he created everything in the world. All right. And if that wasn't enough, he had a great plan that he had for mankind. He had set it up, created the world and had everything right there available. But then sin entered in. And it kind of messed things up, didn't it? Oh, but God, in thinking about his creation, he had a plan in mind. So God sent his son, Jesus. That was an expression of love to us. That's God's love. God's love, because even after mankind disobeyed, God, you know, Adam and Eve was there in the garden, had everything that they could possibly want right at their fingertips. Just leave that tree alone. But then disobedience came, so God had to send his son. That's an expression of his love. You know, what's the one of the scriptures in the Bible that if you could say was the most well-known verse in the Bible? What is it? John 3:16. Well, is that an expression of his love or not? What does it say? For God so loved the world He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is there any qualifications that were put on that verse? It said, he gave, what does whosoever mean? Does that exclude anybody? Man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter your nationality, doesn't matter where you come from, who your mama was, who your daddy is, whoever you are, it said whosoever. He covered all of creation. And he's extending that to each and every one. We are all children of his love. Every single one of us. He said, whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Was there a qualification on how bad you've been? Well, you don't know. Well, I've done this and I've done that. And there's no hope for me. No, that's not what it said. He said, whosoever. Don't matter what you've done. Just receive his Son. Do you believe? That's what we have to do, is believe. And another verse in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 9th verse. It lets us know in the plan of salvation for mankind and his expression of love to each and every one of us. As we made mention of, even when he was creating the world, he was thinking about us before we were even thinking about, we could even think, because we weren't even here. He was thinking about us. But what does it say in 1 John 4 and 9? In this was manifested the love of God towards us.
Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world.
Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world.
That we might live through him.
That we might live through him. So the whole entire world was sentenced, had a death sentence. But then he said, I love my creation, and I don't want that to be, I don't want it to end that way for them. So he said, I have a better plan. So the whole world, the writer said, was sentenced to death because of sin, and every individual was dead in the trespasses of sin. But Jesus came to die instead of the world. So he took our place to make it possible for us so that we could live a life with him. And spiritually, that we could live forever in a spiritual sense because of him sending his Son. Whosoever, it puts no limitations on it at all. Again, an expression of his love to his creation. And as part of that, his Son Jesus had to die on the cross. Some blood had to be shed. You know, but he was willing, wasn't he? What did he have to go through? Was it an easy thing for him? You know, we recognize when we read how difficult it was even to the time leading up to Jesus being crucified and all the things that he went through in his mind and when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, is this the only way? Is this the only way for your creation? Is there some other way? Oh, but he was willing, wasn't he? What gave him God. It took God, did it not? The power of God to come down and strengthen and renew him to be able to go through that. So let's be reminded a little bit of what he went through on the cross. Let's go over to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Verses 33 through 37.
And when they were come into the place,
which is called Calvary,
there they crucified him.
And the malefactors,
one on the right hand,
and the other on the left.
Then said Jesus,
Father,
forgive them.
For they know not what they do.
And they parted his raiment.
And cast lot. Read down to verse 37, please.
And the people stood beholding.
And the rulers also with him derided him.
Saying.
He saved others.
Let him save himself. If he be Christ,
the chosen of God.
And the soldiers also mocked him.
Coming to him.
And offering him vinegar.
And saying.
If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself.
So we recognize everything that he went through, and even as he was going through it, this Jesus, the Son of God, he was showing love to his creation in the midst of being crucified on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thousands of years ago, this was done as an expression of love to you and I. I wasn't even thought of. I wasn't even many. None of us was born, obviously. But even think about he was doing it for those at that time and all, for all future generations. He was willing and he was saying as he was hung there on the cross, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And think about this. And this was only just for the possibility. There was no, I don't believe that Jesus had a conversation with God and said, I'm going through this. How many souls are going to be saved? I don't believe that was a thought in his mind. You know what? I believe that Jesus would have stayed on that cross for one soul. But he did it. For the hope, for the possibility, for that those that years later could have an opportunity to give their heart to God and to live with him in eternity. You know, those around him chiding him and mocking him and, oh, you say you the Son of God, save yourself. He could have come down. Could he not have saved himself? I believe in one place, didn't it say something about he could have called some legions of angels? Amen. So was it the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet that held him up there? No. It was his expression of love to his creation. You almost, when you think about it, those weren't even necessary. He would have hung, God could have figured out a way for him to hang on there with nothing. It wasn't the nails holding him. It was his expression of love to his creation. And the fact that he did it for us, even while some, he did it for the ones, think about, he did it for the ones that abused him, that was mocking him, that was talking about him. Just for the hope that maybe one day they could recognize that gift and open it and establish a relationship with God. In Romans, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse. This is for us.
But God commendeth his love towards us.
But God commanded his love toward us.
In that.
While we were yet sinners.
Christ died for us.
Christ died for us. You know what? When we read that verse, we can be encouraged. Those of us that have given our hearts and lives to God, we recognize his love was expressed to us while we were in a lost and undone condition. And you know what? It gives hope for those that have not surrendered their heart and life to him. Because you know what? This in scripture implies the fact that you don't have to remain in the condition that you're in. That there is a hope for you, that you don't have to stay in that place, that you can also receive this, you can receive the love that God is expressing to you today. And you can, he did it for you just for the hope that one day you would say, yes, I believe. Like that verse says that whosoever believe in him, well, now you can say, I've come up to this point now, but now I believe. And I'm going to accept the gift of your son. And I'm going to surrender my heart and life to you. So there was what it helps us to recognize that God can make a change in anybody. Doesn't matter what the condition is. Whatever you've done in times past, God can take care of all of that. His focus is on not what you have done. His focus is on what you can be. He's not looking to in the rearview mirror. God is looking ahead. Those things that have gone behind and the things that are done, you can't do anything about them now. But by God's grace, you can go forward. And that's what God, he's looking at us and saying, what can you do now? There's a song. It's the title of the song is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And some of the verses, one of the verses says, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. Because you think about God takes us in our wickedness, in the condition that we in, and he cleans us up. He brings us up, as the scriptures say, out of the miry clay, and he set our feet upon a rock, and he established our going. He put a new song in our heart and in our mouth. It said he make us a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He said all things are passed away. He's not concerned about that. He's concerned about what you're going to do going forward. Amen. All things become new. Amen. So he can turn the mess that we make in our lives, he can turn it all around. The songwriter said, to make a wretch a treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. And you think about what it took for God to send his son down to a cruel world that abused him and misused him, and recognizing and knowing that there was going to be some that said, no, I don't want the love. But yet he was willing. How painful could that be? As a father, to say, you're expressing love, and have it come back and say, I don't want it. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turned his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Oh, but just for the hope. Just for the hope of souls. Yes, I'm going to say no, but there's going to be some that say, yes, I receive. And it's just, he was willing. He expressed his love, again, just for the hope of those that would receive him. One of the verses says, behold the man upon a cross, my sins upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. You know, all of us, we're really, when you think about it, we was all in a lost condition. Really, we was just like those that were standing around as he was there on the cross, calling him names and throwing things at him and saying all the things that was going on. We was in the crowd. But his love kept him up there. It was my sin, the writer says, that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life, and now I know that it is finished. Because he stayed up there and died, that's what gives us the privilege, each and every one of us, to be able to have eternal life. So we talked about God's expression of love in his creation. His expression of love in sending his son to the world. And then allowing his son to die on a cruel cross. But then we also recognize another way that God extends love to his creation is his chastening. Yes. And you know what? I've mentioned this before, and I'll probably say it again. You know, we had to change our attitude and mindset about chastening. You know, the natural thing is to consider it as something bad. But when we recognize what, again, think about it from God's perspective, what's done is done, right? He's concerned about what we're going to do going forward, right? So in terms of his chastening, it's him extending mercy and grace to us. And he's giving us an opportunity, like the song that we said, come closer, my child, to me. His dealings with us, touching our hearts and then different things that he allows, different things that we go through, that then things rise up within us and help us to recognize what we have on hand. He's given us an opportunity to come a little bit closer, my child, to me. So it's really mercy being extended. So chastening is an expression of God's love to his creation. In Proverbs, the third chapter, in the 11th and 12th verse.
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord.
Despise not the chastening of the Lord.
Neither be weary of his correction.
Neither be weary of his correction.
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth.
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth.
A father the son in whom he delighteth.
Even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Despise not. In other words, don't make it seem like it's a bad thing. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. It's just like a natural father does for his son. Why does a natural father, why did he still correct me now? I'm still his son. But why does he do it? Out of love. Right? If he sees me doing, going to make a bad choice or a decision, and I ask him for advice, he's going to tell me, don't do that. I don't think that's going to work out right. And then what do I say? Well, but I had this idea, though. What kind of father would say, okay, yeah, you had that's a pretty good idea. Just go ahead and do it, knowing that it's going to be something that's detrimental to me. A father wouldn't do that. So that's why we have God. That's why we have him letting us know, don't do that. Don't go in that direction. That's why he's there when things happen, when he deals with us. Why does he do it? Because he doesn't want us to do that again. The proof of God's love to us is that he treats us like his sons, right? And that he has the fondest affection for us. And as having that, he wants the best for us. So that's why he chastens us, to try to help us out. You know, this verse is repeated in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Not quite the same, but the essence of the scripture is the same. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. In Hebrews 12 and 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And then it says, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. All right. This is where this is where it gets a little difficult. What a scourge. Scourge is pain or difficulty. Well, if God loved me so much, then why wouldn't he just make it easy? Is anything easy? No. Anything that's going to be worthwhile is going to take some kind of effort, and more than likely is going to cause some type of pain. So if that happens naturally in all things, how can we expect that it won't happen spiritually? And again, it's for our benefit. What does the scripture say? All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So, Lord, even in pain, in difficulty, if I have to have a little suffering, I can recognize, Lord, you have it, something in it for me. And help me to grab a hold to it. And I'm recognizing that that is still you expressing your love. Because maybe if I didn't have this difficulty or this pain or this struggle, then maybe I would go astray. Isn't there a verse of scripture that talks about that? Something along those lines. I can't think of it now. May the Lord, if you have me to bring it out, bring it to my mind. But I think about this then. There's another example, the Apostle Paul. What happened to the Apostle Paul? What had happened to him? He had a thorn in his flesh, so he had some type of infirmity in his body. And he asked and he prayed to God, Lord, would you take it away? And he prayed, I believe it says he prayed three times, didn't he? But God didn't see fit to take it away. So that must have been something that he needed to be a constant reminder to him to keep him on the straight and narrow. So, you know, when we look at our lives and recognize God's chastening within us, maybe there's something that's difficult for us. What does God have it in it for me? Is there something about that that's keeping me in the direction and the path that I need to go? That's not to say that we can ask God, just like the Apostle Paul. We can ask God, Lord, if it be your will, would you take this thing away? But if it's not, if this is what I need in order for me to maintain the victory and to be able to make heaven my home, what did Paul pray for? He prayed for some more grace, didn't he? That's, and did God provide it? Yes, he did. So we recognize chastening is an extension of God's love. Yes.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. And then 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes.
Amen.
That's in the Bible, saints. I didn't come up with it. Again, we can ask God. But we don't. Well, sometimes there are things that God has for us to endure in order for us to remain faithful.
Yeah.
And you know what? We have the privilege, again, like I just expressed, we can ask for more grace. Lord, give me the grace, give me strength and help that I need to be able to endure this because I want to be faithful. What's more important, to have whatever that is that's such a difficulty to you, to be gone and you be lost? It serves a divine purpose, just like it did with the Apostle Paul. It was to draw him closer to him. As we think again about God's love for each and every one of us. These are just a few things that I mentioned here this morning. This topic is so vast. You could come up with lists of thousands of things that express God's love to his creation. My encouragement to each and every one of us this morning is that we would take full advantage of his love. Just recognize his love being expressed to us and take full advantage of it. Don't take it for granted. Take advantage of his love. And then we have the privilege to love him back.
Yes.
We can give our lives to him, submit our wills and our desires into his hand, and allow him to lead and guide and direct us as we journey along our life. And recognizing, keeping this thought in mind. If somebody asks you, how much do you love yourself? I mean, all of us, we have a good amount of love for our own self. We do. I mean, it's just, we do. But think about this. God loves you more than you love yourself. He loves me more than I love my own self. So his expression of love to me is even beyond my understanding and comprehension. Have you taken advantage of God's love being expressed to you? You know what hinders souls and why some souls may be lost? It's not because of what God didn't do. You know what it's going to be? I believe it boils down to this. It's going to boil down to a fact of unbelief in his love. I mean, when you really think about it, why would a soul be lost? And it would be because I don't believe that God's love is able to take care of fill in the blank. My encouragement to you, don't let that be you. Take full advantage of God's love that he has shown to all of us, his creation. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. I want to take advantage of it. I don't want to take it for granted. I want to recognize his love in every aspect of life and endeavor by his grace to draw closer to him and be the man of God that he's calling me to be. I desire your prayer.